Yeah, but this is not news, right? I mean, we were saying, talking about Russia being terrorists. I don't know. I was here in the studio maybe in May when I was saying Russians are terrorists. You were looking not that believing at me, right? But you see now this is exactly what they do. They cannot defeat Ukrainian armies on the battlefield. And what they do, they just terrorizing normal people, right? Bombing not only the stations, but, you know, now they started to bomb the clinics and hospitals and things like that. So, I mean, yeah, that's disaster. We knew that will be coming, and that's why all the time Ukrainian government and soldiers asking for weapons to stop Russia faster, yeah, to not reach the moment when everything will collapse, and indeed the people will not have any electricity or heating in the houses.
And indeed, Maria, you mentioned hospitals because, I mean, look, they're important to every society every day, but particularly a country that is at war and has been, where another country has invaded it, such as Russia. And I imagine Ukrainian hospitals are overrun at the moment. But I was reading about one particular hospital where they're running on reduced voltage. They're having to use 180 watt voltage instead of 220 watt, which means that there are issues around the hospital equipment eventually becoming damaged. Other hospitals may not even be that lucky. They may have no power at all, and there are lives at stake.
Exactly. And that's, you know, if you heard the news yesterday, there was a bombing in the Porizhia region of the maternity house. And maternity houses has nothing to do even with the, you know, with the soldiers or people who are, you know, impacted on the battlefield, and what happened is actually that the baby, 2 days old, died in that bombing. So that's, you know...
Doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is disastrous. And, you know, the Russians do it intentionally. Unfortunately, intentionally. This is exactly what they're doing. And all what they're doing, they're trying to make Ukrainians surrender, but it's impossible now because everybody understands if we will stop fighting, we will be killed, all of us. I mean, it was clear since beginning, but I still see in Europe, unfortunately, many people do not believe it or they don't want to believe it. And like governments starting to issue more and more clear messages, more messages, understanding that's the real issue with Russia. But I mean, still, I feel that people, like, they really don't want to believe this is the reality. This is really what Russia is trying to do.
It's becoming very, very clear now. I mean, I know you worried about, you know, maybe family members and those who remain in Ukraine, you know, into the winter, given the energy grid has been hit so hard by the Russians and the need to have scheduled outages.
Absolutely. And I see our family and friends also thinking now to move somewhere. If people have, let's say, villages where they can build heating from the wood, so people actually move there. But in cities and like when they live in apartments, it's absolutely impossible. So those people are thinking where they can actually move, and again thinking maybe to go abroad and wait until spring. Right, to go back, so they're just to, you know, overcome those few months when heating and electricity is absolutely necessary.
Can you give us a sense of just how cold it can be in Ukraine in winter? Because we've been hearing, you know, well, the war will grind down and, you know, as winter sets in Ukraine. And, you know, sometimes we think we get cold weather here, but just how cold can it get in Ukraine during a winter?
It depends on the winters, of course. I would say minus 15, it's normal. Sometimes it could be more, but thanks, here I would like to think, to say thanks to the global warming, now winters are not that bad. But
we do a lot of snow and ice. And,
yeah, so it could be snow and ice, but I mean, when I was my childhood, it was minus 20, minus 25, it was like a couple of weeks normal thing.
Minus 25, I mean, even like even with heating in your house, you must surely still be feeling cold.
yeah, I actually remember very well one winter when we had minus 30, and that disaster, guys. I mean, that was
Mary.
Impossible to believe. But I hope really global warming help us this winter as well, and it will not be that tough, or at least if it will be, you know, such a frost, it will be not that long, you know, like one few days, not weeks, right? But it could be really in Ukraine. It could be cold and it could be snowing, I mean, quite a lot, which, you know, also not helping because, you know, you cannot move around the towns or cities. You need to clean the snow from the roads. Yeah, and things like that. But yeah.
With that in mind, then, I'm thinking of all the people who, even, you know, when Ukraine recaptured Kherson and there was talk, you know, the fears Russians would start bombing again, but there were people living there who said, no, this is where we're from. We're going to stay here, regardless of the risk. The people who've decided to stay in Ukraine despite everything that's going on, could the winter, if it's particularly bad and snow coming and so on and ice, could that be the straw that breaks the camel's back? And can you see a lot of people trying to flee Ukraine ahead of the winter?
I think many people are thinking about that, but still, it's very difficult to explain how people in Ukraine feel now, right? It's absolutely difficult to scare them, okay? It's impossible to scare Ukrainians already, I mean. People just, you know, thinking very practically, if there is no electricity, what they do, if there is no heating, what they do, if they have answers to those questions, they will not go. If they don't have answers, they will still look, you know, within the family, within the families living in different regions. I mean, I would say in this stage, this is my opinion, right? So at this stage, people will think about going abroad at the last option, right? Okay. Because, yeah, I mean, many people returned, you know, who were leaving the country at the beginning of the war. And, I mean, they are not really feeling well to go again that route. Yeah, I would say, I mean, Ukrainians got really good, you know, invite everywhere and were welcome and were getting the help. But still, I mean, this instability, you know, knowing nothing about whether you will have the living conditions for tomorrow, made them go back to Ukraine and they don't want to try that again, right? So it's, yeah. I would not say that people will take it as the first option. It will be the last.
Okay. I mean, the World Health Organization is saying millions of lives are in danger because half of your country's energy infrastructure is either damaged or destroyed. You mentioned the temperatures, the severe temperatures that could set in. I mentioned the appeal to Western nations for badly needed spare parts to help the electricity infrastructure. Do you think more needs to be done to prevent that potential disaster?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, to speed up, like procuring on and providing those spare parts. Secondly, speed up the providing the weapons and the electricity stations, electrical stations, which were damaged. They were damaged by the rockets, which were sent from Russia from really big distance. And Ukrainians do not have the rockets with that distance. So this is what we were asking, I mean, since March as well. So for the rockets which can go for big distances so that we can respond to those attacks, and those attacks will be rare and rare, right? So this is what's needed. I mean, other way, I mean, Russia will never stop if it will not be stopped. They will not stop it until they will not have means to continue. So we need to destroy the places from where they're starting those airplanes with the rockets, and, you know, these kind of things, like really military operations to stop this bombing. Nothing like that and nothing else. And let's not forget that, okay, part of the Ukraine still have electricity, but Mariupol and those cities on occupied part of Ukraine, which is under Russia, they don't have electricity already since how many months, right?
Yeah, okay.
More than half a year. Since the beginning of the invasion, they don't have electricity, they don't have heating, they don't have water, and they will not have it in any case, because Russia is not going to take care about those people.
No,
they will
no.
leave them for dying, you know? So okay. Those people don't have even a chance. Regardless, we will have parts or will not have parts, they will not have a chance to get that. So it's only, you know, military solutions can really solve the problem.